Thanks for listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For 13 years, I've been a professional intuitive counselor and personal development blogger. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Sunday, April 14th, 2019, as I record this introduction. This week, astrologer Dina DeCastro returns to the show to tell us all about Chiron and what the move into Chiron in Aries means for each of us. And just so you know, before we get into this interview, I'm going to tell you how to quickly find out what your Chiron sign is in just a few moments. As always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show. Be thinking about a question or a concern you have. Hold it in your mind. I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. Before I forget, I do want to say a quick thank you to my newest supporter on Patreon, Jeremy Elliott, and thank you to all of you who continue to pledge your support. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and want it to continue. It's very encouraging to me, so thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, exclusive bonus episodes, and there's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. I'm currently sharing my entire content marketing plan for online business. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing the show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. This is Dina DeCastro's third time on the show. She's an evolutionary astrologer who has taught us about the karmic patterns in our birth chart and also about our Venus. And today she's here to talk about Chiron. Now, Chiron is not one of the planets listed in the summary of your natal chart on astro.com. It may not be included in a lot of astrology platforms and software. So, the simplest way to find out what your Chiron sign is to Google Chiron, C-H-I-R-O-N, plus the year of your birth. For example, I was born in 1969, so I just Googled Chiron 1969. The first page you'll probably see in the search returns is a Chiron signs table on Cafe Astrology. This is one of the resources Dina recommends, and you can also find the direct link in the show notes. So, you may want to pause your podcast app for just a few moments and click that link or Google it really fast right now. And let's dive into the conversation with Dina. I love having a returning guest / in-house astrologer. You know, and welcoming all other astrologers to come on the show too. So one of the things that you and I have been doing in these sort of serial conversations is focusing on more evergreen kind of topics in astrology, not the day-to-day transits of what's going on, but the thing that's interesting about Chiron, which we're talking about today, is it kind of falls in a middle ground, right? Because it's going to be in effect for this long period of time. It's shifting signs. It's going to be there for 7 years. So this is one of those things that I feel like we still want to discuss, and it will be relevant for several years if people listen to this conversation, right?
Right. Yeah. It's right in that middle ground where this is when the slower moving bodies, you know, such as Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, which are the outer planets, and Chiron, which happens to orbit between Uranus and Saturn, when those things are moving into a new sign, it will be there for a long time, generally, you know, Pluto being the longest, where it could be 15 years-ish in a sign. So yeah, we're you know, not exactly evergreen, but it's a long time, right?
Right.
So for Chiron, it's going to be in total about 8 years in Aries, and it dipped in last year, and it's going to go through 2027. A little in and out at the end, you know, where it goes forward and backward. But
when was it last year that it dipped in? I'm just curious.
Let's see. It was, I believe, April. I'm going to look at my notes on that, but yeah, I think it was April through September, of 2018. And then it retrograded back into Pisces to finish up business there. We could talk a little bit about that. And then it moved fully into Aries February last month. I believe it was the 18th that it moved into Aries. Yeah.
So I just have to say really quickly, I really didn't know anything about Chiron until very recently, in the last few months, when I started seeing all this press about the change into Aries, and people who had Chiron and Pisces were celebrating that something was going to change. And, you know, I mean, I've had people talking to me about my chart since I was a little kid, and this never came up. So tell us, first of all, you know, what is Chiron, like as an astronomical body, and then astrologically what it is?
So it was first classified as an asteroid, and it's orbiting in the asteroid, between the asteroid belt and the Kuiper belt, which is that final belt of objects, you know, beyond Pluto. And so its orbit goes in and out between Uranus's orbit and Saturn's orbit. So it can go a little bit outside of Uranus and then come back in and inside of Saturn's orbit and go back out. So it goes between them, and it doesn't have a round, completely round orbit. It's elliptical and irregular. Therefore, it spends a longer time in some signs than others. And it happens to be that Aries and Libra are the two signs it spends the longest amount of time in. So it's about an 8-year time frame that it will be spending in those. Now it's being classified as a possibly a minor planet, which is, you know, could be a combination of, is it a comet or is it a dwarf planet? You know, what is it? But it's basically a small body that regularly orbits the sun, which is now classified as a centaur, a minor planet. It was discovered in 1977, so it is very new in terms of, you know, what astrologers have been looking at and developing theories about. And we're still continuing to develop a meaning, you know, for what Chiron is.
Oh, that's so cool. I never thought about we think of all this stuff as being so ancient, you know, like Greek astronomers gazing at the sky kind of thing. So the idea that modern astrologers are actually incorporating something new into the lexicon is really fascinating. So how does that happen, and what do people think it's about, and what do you know about it?
Yeah, well, like any of the planets that have been discovered in recent history, for example, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are new, basically, to our astrological understanding, relatively speaking. You know, we started with discovery of Uranus in the late 18th century, discovery of Neptune in the mid 19th century, and discovery of Pluto in about 1930. Okay, so this is recent history in terms of the scheme of things. And so astrologers work to develop a sense of what does that planet's presence mean in a birth chart through experience, through reality testing, through looking at a person's chart and seeing how it plays out in their life. So it's a science in that we're correlating data and observation. We're observing data and how it plays out in reality. And so we're doing the same with Chiron. You know, I think it received the moniker, you know, the archetype of the wounded healer, as it was named for Chiron. And the myth of Chiron is about a centaur, you know, that was born of the mating of Saturn, Cronos, and a nymph named Philyra. And so that story is about a being who was born with a deformity, being rejected by his mother. You know, she split the scene when this baby was born. It's a very sad story in its beginnings, but then it works out well in the Greek myth for Chiron because he is adopted by Apollo, who's really super cool. Apollo shares with him all the skills, you know, that he has. And he becomes then a master healer, astrologer himself. Astrology is actually in the myth. And a person who then mentors others and teaches others, or a being who mentors and teaches others. So he's kind of this half mortal, half not mortal being who is, brought into the world and has to figure out, like, how am I going to survive? But then he receives some help and mentoring from one of the gods. So it's a pretty incredible story. And then what astrologers do is they take that, the synchronicity of that body being named for that Greek myth, and say, well, how then does that shed light on the meaning of this body in a person's chart? And we've done that for all of the planets, from named for the Greek gods or the Roman gods. So, yeah, I mean, it's a process, right? It's a process of looking at this over and over again in people's charts. And to be honest, I didn't use Chiron for probably the first 10 years of practicing astrology, and I've been doing it for about 20. And what led me to really looking at it myself and practicing with it in charts is, in my own chart, I saw how it had meaning and seemed to shed light on my story. And it is prominent in my chart. And so I think that's a factor too. It's like, if it's prominent in a person's chart, then it will have more of an impact as this asteroid or minor body. But we can only, as astrologers, we can only really work from experiential, experience and data to figure out what does this actually mean, right?
So what's the theme then? Kind of what does it bring to our chart? Is there a certain part of our life experience that it impacts? Talk a little bit about that.
I believe it has to do with inner child issues, things that happened to us when we were children that continue to affect us throughout our life. And we may be very aware of those things, but it's like the thing that keeps hanging us up, that insecurity, that feeling of lack, that feeling of less than, that we all carry around, that stems from something in the childhood. And perhaps some of us have more or less awareness about what is that wound, what happened there. Let's say, for example, someone, their parent, one of their parents left when they were a child. I'm going right back to the Chiron story. They might have abandonment issues, right? And they might be very aware of the cause of that. Oh, my father left when I was 3. And so therefore, I have daddy issues or abandonment issues, right? But what Chiron can help with is then pointing in the chart to, where can you find the healing for that? Like, what is the medicine by its sign and house placement? What do you need to go into? What do you need to embrace? What qualities do you need to embody in order to heal from that particular childhood issue? And then use that healing in service. That is part of the healing too. Using that awareness of your own childhood wound in service in some way to others in your life, or on a broader scale.
Okay, so this is bringing together lots of threads of stories for me personally, which we'll come back to later on when we talk about the Chiron return. Let's make sure and tell everybody, though, since, like, for instance, I don't think when you do your chart on astro.com that it lists Chiron as one of the planets and tells you what sign it's in. So if you want to look this up and just find out what your Chiron sign is, how do you find out that information?
Well, for any asteroid or minor body, you can usually find it by typing in that planetary body's name plus the word ephemeris or ephemerides. It's E-P-H-E-M-E-R-I-D-E-S or ephemeris. That will bring up a list of different resources, either to find a table that shows when the planet was where, or it will go to an ephemeris that shows that. And some people cannot read an ephemeris. So that's, you know, that's a tricky thing. I do happen to know with Chiron, Cafe Astrology has a good sign tables for Chiron, which is easy to read. It just says, here's the date and here's the date it entered Cancer, for example, and here's the date that it left Cancer and entered Leo. And so you can find within that list of dates where your natal Chiron is. So that's fairly easy. So you'll put a link to that in the notes.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have links to all these resources where you can look this stuff up and links to some of your resources as well. So this is really interesting because I do kind of see this theme emerging around the whole like wounded healer, inner, you know, like wounded child archetype stuff. Mm-hmm. I also had an epiphany about the centaurs in Harry Potter and the magicians.
Which are
famously, you know, healers who study the stars as well. And I assumed that that came from mythology, but you just tied it all together for me. So, you know, I get my mythology through fantasy most of the time.
Me too.
What has been, like, for instance, one of the things that brought this to my awareness were all the people who recently were posting on Facebook that they were Chiron and Pisces people and that, you know, this was nearing a shift for them. And it seemed as if they were like glad to see this change coming. Like, why? Yeah. What is that story about?
Well, you know, and I don't tend to look at things is either wholly positive or negative, right? You know that about me by now. And as an evolutionary astrologer, I don't think, you know, as my teacher Steve puts it, don't like just plug your nose through the transit of something and say, oof, shoo, that's done. Like, to work with it consciously and with intention would be the aim, right? So I'm not shaming those people because believe me, I've definitely been like phew after a few Pluto transits, in my life and like, glad that's done. But Chiron can bring definitely a hyper awareness of, you know, that childhood stuff that still haunts us. And if Chiron's in Pisces, then those people were going through Pisces return in the past several years, right? Which means they were turning 50 at some point in there. 50, I would say, is already a interesting birthday, right? In this culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I are both turning 50 this year. So we're coming up on Chiron in return. And we'll talk more about that. But for those people with Chiron in Pisces that have just gone through it, you know, maybe there were other challenges in their life as well, surrounding turning 50, surrounding all the things that go with being middle-aged in this culture. It was a water sign, yeah. And so there's, with Pisces, there is a feeling of, already a feeling of heightened sensitivity, vulnerability, deep empathy, and perhaps, you know, the challenges of Chiron return in Pisces were about feeling things even more deeply, which at the past few years would have been a very challenging place to be, for sure. Like everything that's going on in this country, you know, lots of processing of deep and intense emotions in general, and then having that heightened awareness of everything that's going on around you and feeling everybody's feelings. I mean, I would guess that was a challenging sign to have Chiron return in, for sure.
Well, and I'm observing that conversation from our peers, you know, people who are already intuitives or, you know, spiritual teachers. They're very much involved in their spirituality and, you know, healing things, their personal issues. And as you said, you know, turning that into something that they do for other people. So, and predominantly a lot of women in our community. So I was seeing all this back and forth and I was like, gosh, you guys, I'm so sorry. What happened? It sounded really intense, but it also makes sense why they are kind of having a voice within our community at large, yeah. why they're on these Facebook groups talking right. about the things that they're talking about. It did make a kind of sense. Well, and I was kind of excited to hear that I have another dose of fire to work with. Because I am a fire sign, I'm a Leo, but I have a lot of Scorpio in my chart. And so I kind of feel like I feel more like a water sign moving through the world a lot of times than I do the Leo energy. So to have some Aries coming in somewhere, I was like, yeah, bring it on. Sounds good.
You and me both. I don't have a lot of fire in my sign, in my chart at all. I have one fire planet, Mars in Sag, and that's it. So I'm like, okay, a good little boost here of some fire energy, and then Chiron will be connecting. If you're a fire sign, particularly if you have early fire sign planets, Chiron will be connecting with that via a trine or conjunction, right? Mm-hmm. Either one or the other. So it will give you, it will reconnect you with that fire principle for sure. Yeah.
So with Chiron moving into Aries for everyone, what kinds of things does that generally do to the mood and the environment and what we're experiencing collectively?
Well, you know, Chiron being in Aries for the collective is about it's taking us back to square one in many ways. Aries is the first sign. It is the I am principle and just being, you know, absolutely 100% who I am, who I am born as. And Chiron is illuminating what is the wound that blocks us from being 100% who we are and who we were born as. That's intense for sure. I mean, we could say Chiron and Pisces was intense in different ways, but there's an intensity to this as well that has to do with confronting what blocks us from being 100% accepting and comfortable with who we are. No apologies, right? That's very Aries energy, by the way. No apologies. Okay. Not apologizing for who I am, what I'm doing, and what I want, right? Mm. And desire. Desire is also a component of Aries. So what is Chiron is illuminating right now, and as it moves through Aries, what is blocking us from having what we want? You know, it will show us where we get in our own way. Where we let other people get in our way. But the onus of power does come back to us because that, you know, that's what Aries is about, is owning your personal power, your will, your desire, and the direction you want to take. And so one of the themes that I would see coming of that is realizing, you know, exactly how we get in our own way, not so much, and to remove that tendency to want to blame that person, that situation. You know, there's always an excuse I could make, you know, about why I'm not getting to where I want to go. But ultimately, the buck stops with me, right? And that's a very Aries principle as well. So owning personal power, wellness will be, you know, how to get to that is through understanding the ways that we let our past, our childhood stuff, our old baggage of childhood continue to hang us up in our movements toward where we want to go. And so there's, as with any transit, some inner work involved in figuring that out, right? And healing that. So, yeah.
Well, and you always, one of the things that I love about the way you speak about these things, and you touched on that idea, is it's not always good or bad. You're going to get a little bit of both with mm-hmm. anything in astrology. And one of the things that you like to do with that is say, you know, given that this situation is occurring, or given that we've got these ingredients to work with, how can we make the best of that? What should we be looking to work on? I mean, obviously, childhood issues, you know, things from the past that maybe are still holding us back in some way, making us timid. Am I in the ballpark?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you cued in on something there with the word timid, that Aries is a sign of bravery and courage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're being, all of us, called to become more brave in some area of our lives, you know, depending on where that Chiron transit is happening, whether that Chiron be touching a planet in your chart, whether that Chiron be moving through a house. Well, it will be always moving through a house, but what house is it moving through in your chart? You know, it's going to point to that area being key in the need for you to develop courage, to be bold, to take steps forward in that area, and, you know, also to face the fears that are rooted in something that happened, you know, when you were a kid, that's still getting in your way.
Well, this is freaking me out because, you know, as you know, just not to make it all about me, but since it's my show, since it's my show, since it's my show, and you're my astrologer, and I've already like aired a bunch of laundry that you and I have talked about, you know, the whole thing with some of the romantic kind of stuff going on in my chart right now, which, you know, we'd had a conversation about, and that sort of opened some doors for me that I ended up doing this episode, you know, a few weeks ago about how I had put this curse on myself when I was younger. And I then did a follow-up episode with Asa Posh about the concept of using shamanic principles to reverse or to retrieve some of those lost pieces. And so behind the scenes, I mean, I'll come back and talk about this on its own show. But one of the things that I found really quickly after talking to her was that the incidents that I was talking about and speaking about as if it was the beginning of this curse really weren't. There were other events that led up to them, and I started just to sort of jump back in time all the way back to something that happened when I was 4. And so I have had this big aha moment that what I perceived as some kind of, you know, issue that I had placed on myself or whatever was actually something that happened to me at a really early age, and I responded to it in such a way that that emotional wound then defined how I defended myself in a lot of areas going forward that were connected with that. So yeah. And then the whole idea of like, why do I feel the impulse to suddenly talk about all this publicly? And one of my reasons intellectually for doing that was, you know, one of the components of a shamanic ritual is to have the tribe present when somebody's being healed. And so one of the things we talked about was the fact that this community of people who listen to this show were kind of holding that space. And so I am actually asking for my community to hold space for me while I heal this. And, you know, consequently, hopefully they will get some kind of information for that they can use for themselves. But yeah, as you're talking about this idea of bravery, I feel lately, and I mean, I'm kind of a brave person in some areas of my life, but I do feel this sense, I feel this sense of being more brave suddenly about things that are really deep in the closet. Like, yeah, I've gone a whole other layer back into storage now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm wondering if maybe that's what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, and you and I are both going through Chiron return, so we could talk a little bit about that, you know, and how does Chiron return in general, because anybody with Chiron in Aries is going to be experiencing Chiron return sometime between now and 2027. So let me just quickly note the dates for that. So Chiron is in Aries from now through June 19th of 2026. Dips back into, or dips into Taurus for a while, and then comes back into Aries from September 17th, 2026 through June 14th of 2027. So really about 8 years more, right? With a little dip into Taurus in between. So Chiron return is it only happens once in your life unless you live to be about 100, you know, which some of us do. But at that point, you know, I don't know how much work we'll be doing.
Who cares?
At that point, like, I'm just sipping my margarita on the porch. I don't know. At 50, you know, is when most people are experiencing it. About, you know, a year either side of that could be when it starts for you. And it lasts about a year and a half to 2 years. And this transit, this Chiron return, it prompts us to revisit the very core wound, okay, of childhood. And so when you say, like, the thing that happened when you were 4, I have a suspicion that that is a key. And interestingly enough, the Chiron glyph looks like a key. cool synchronicity, eh? That's the key to unlocking your courage, your strength, your power now. Okay.
Wow.
And this is why you're feeling braver, more courageous, more able to take risks. I'm experiencing some of the same feeling. And I think this in part comes with being 50 as well, or becoming 50, is you start to care less what other people think, right? You start to really own that this is just who I am. No apologies, right? Aries mm-hmm. energy, no apologies. And for better or for worse, you know, I may make enemies. I may have people not like me. Okay, these are also very Aries themes. Like, I may make enemies, and not everybody has to like me. And that is so freeing and so healing.
Yes.
Big time, right? So that's the theme of this Chiron and Aries return, I think.
Would you be comfortable talking about, like, maybe an example of how that's showing up for you? I mean, mm-hmm. what kind of parts of your life are you seeing that in?
Well, doing this podcast. seriously, I mean, I'm joking a little bit. I mean, doing things like this, putting myself out there and speaking to larger groups of people, because I think one of the core wounds for me was standing out, being made to feel like it was not safe to stand out or to be visible because of themes of my childhood, you know, of having narcissistic parents that made it feel like, no, you're not supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be the show. So that core wound about, like, I have to blend in. I have to I have to hide my needs. I have to hide my vulnerabilities. That is what I am working through at this time. And what I'm finding is that there's this voice that's guiding me. You know, I feel like it's one of my guides that's probably overseeing this whole Chiron return for me, that's saying, you go, girl, just do it. And it'll be fine. We got you. But you've just got to keep pushing yourself here. I know it's scary. I know it's not fun sometimes, but there will be gains for you on the other side of this. And so, yeah, it's, you know, writing more, being in front of people more, sharing more of what I have to say. And that Chiron in my chart happens to be connected to my Mercury. It's squaring my Mercury. So for people who know a little bit about astrology, natally, it's squaring my Mercury. And then by transit, because of this return, it's squaring my Mercury. So it is really the use of the voice, you know, for me, that's showing up in a big way.
That's so much something that I associate with you, too. You know, both technically, you have great sound and audio. Yep. Your sound is always really good. And you have a great, you know, radio voice. And it's something that I definitely associate with your persona. So I love to be one of the people who's, like, holding your hand and jumping off the cliff with this energy a little bit. And, you know, I have to say that the weird thing is that I feel strangely kind of elated by it, even though it's terrifying, right? And normally, maybe if you picked another time period and you'd come knocking and wanted to talk to me about some of this stuff, I'd be like, I'm not talking to anybody about that, you know, maybe in a therapy session or something. But the idea of there's almost this weird kind of giddy excitement that goes along with being vulnerable in this context, because and I appreciate you sharing how that plays out in your life, because I guarantee you someone else heard what you just said and really identified with it. And that's their story too. And it's so crazy how you can do something that feels like, well, this is really specific to me, you know, and talk about something so personal, and yet people are able to identify with the energy of that and to automatically mirror that in some way, and it really touches people emotionally, and they have this response to it that, to tell you the truth, I only know that from having blogged for a decade and felt like every time I felt really hesitant about publishing something that was too personal, I always kind of had to grit my teeth and do it. And then the feedback that I would see on the other side encourages me that it's probably going to be okay if I do it. Like, I should say yes to that more. But what is different for me in this moment is I feel a little bit excited about embracing that more.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the gift and the medicine. You know, that we're feeling the effects of the medicine, basically. You know, we're taking our medicine, we're doing this healing work. And it's like, oh, that is bringing a shift in me. And, you know, the core of that Aries message is self, really self-acceptance. You know, there's some of that with Pisces as well, like accepting oneself as one is, but also embracing with Aries who I am. Without apology, without caveats, without anything to say, you know, I'm making an excuse for myself. So there is a major shift going on, you know, for those people with Chiron return happening, and will continue. You know, that shift will continue for people with Chiron and Aries for the next several years.
So, generally, it's a little bit of this energy for everyone, but for the people who are 50 or turning 50 during this period, it's it's like an intensified front and center, you know, activity in our world right now, right? Am I explaining that right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, and you know what? It kind of takes me back a little bit to all that solar eclipse stuff that happened in Leo a few years ago, right? Because there was that whole like Leo Aquarius message about who am I? What's my light? How am I a star? And then the flip side of that, who's receiving it? You know, so I feel like this is like, in a way, like that was a version of this type of work that was a little bit painful to revisit or to kind of have laid bare for a while, because I am a Leo, and I think it was like extra, you know, hot for the Leos. But I kind of feel like this is maybe a more active version of that introspective experience. Like, I felt like that was a lot of soul searching. Let's just use that term. Like, I did a lot of soul searching about what the hell am I doing here, you know? And then this feels a little bit more like, ooh, there's actually something to do and a way of processing this energy. And on the other side of it, something that's been lingering for a lifetime may have a new role in my life, and it may become a source of power as opposed to a source of, you know, hamstring or whatever.
Right. I mean, Chiron and Aries, you know, one of the themes of Aries is taking action, right? So it's about putting those realizations and those insights that you had now into action. It's about doing. And so for the collective as well, it's about taking action on the insights and the healing work that you're doing. It's not about keeping it locked away in the, you know, I'll deal with that later file, you know, or I'll think about that later. It's now time to act. We've all we've all kind of got our marching orders, I think, you know, to use a military metaphor with Aries is apropos, you know, to go forth and do based on the healing work that we're doing.
How do you think this is going to affect the United States as a nation? Actually, there's a lot of nations that are going through identity crisis right now. Do you think this is playing into those stories at all?
Dude, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about that this morning. You read my mind. And I was wanting to look at the United States chart, which I'm actually going to do right now. Maybe you could put this chart in the show notes as well. So the United States actually has a natal chart. Yes. Called the Sibley chart, and it's cast for the July 4, 1776 date, you know, as the birthday of the nation at 5:10 p.m., which I think was the signing of the Declaration of Independence, around when they estimate that is. So this chart seems to be accurate, and where that Chiron and Aries falls in this chart will be in its entirety, really, in the fourth house of home and family, okay? Which is, in terms of a nation, that's like the homeland, right? Mm. The homeland identity, our connection to each other as a family of Americans, right? That's what the fourth house represents in terms of the U.S. chart. So Chiron is illuminating, bringing to the surface the wounds that that are core to our national identity, mm-hmm. and what we were founded on. You know, foundation is another word that I would associate with the fourth house. So what that takes me to is, you know, what's the origin story of the United States? We were built out of rebellion. We were built out of seeking religious freedom and freedom from persecution. We were built on breaking away from an oppressive, tyrannical order, you know, as our forefathers perceived it, so that we could have more freedom, right? More independence. Very Aries word, independence. Mm. Mm-hmm. So it is bringing up, like, how do we define ourselves now? Who are we as a family of Americans? And what needs to be healed so that we can continue to be a family or not? Mm. This is what's at stake. It seems pretty big to me. And, you know, I'm not just saying that. If I were to look at this and let's say in some alternate universe, Trump wasn't president, which mm-hmm. I would want to go live there right now. if that were the case.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Even if Trump weren't president, I would be looking at this and saying, these are the issues, right, that we're facing next. Like, how can we continue to be a family of Americans? How can we continue with that sense of unity when there are different factions that are wanting to break off and splinter off and be independent and rebel? And, you know, so we're heading into a rough time. And if we've been in a rough time for a while, there have been other transits, you know, in this chart that have awoken the beast, so to speak.
This is so interesting. We should do a whole show about America, the chart, at some point.
I would love it.
Yeah, we should. Without, you know, going too far down that road, we'll save some of that conversation. But it occurs to me that, you know, the childhood wound for the foundation of the United States was slavery. You know, it was a big wound to the whole concept of, you know, all men are created equal, blah, 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 which we have seen, you know, repeatedly bubbling up in, you know, coming to light over and over again. And the whole idea of, you know, nationalism versus being the melting pot. There's a lot of mixed messages in America's identity that are playing out right now in
absolutely.
A very, yeah. So, well, that's an idea for our next show. Maybe, maybe we'll do that for summer when it's like near, the birthday of the United States.
That sounds great. Yeah. I could look at all the transits for the United States. It'd be a good check-in.
Let's do that. Let's do that. All right. So just to let everyone know, we've got some resources. You've already written and prepared some articles on your blog. You have two links that I'm going to put in the show notes. Tell everybody what those are.
Great. So the first one is a post about Chiron and Aries, just in general for the collective. So what does it mean, the symbolism of Chiron and Aries? And in that post, I also share a personal story about my having Chiron and Aries natally to illustrate, you know, what that energy might be like for the collective. And then in the following post, it's specifically about Chiron and Aries as it's affecting each sun sign. So if you know your sun sign, you can get some good information about how is this time of Chiron and Aries going to be affecting you personally as that sun sign. And so that kind of astrology, sun sign astrology, it can be somewhat specific, but not entirely specific. So of course, if you really want to know how this, how Chiron is laying into your personal chart, definitely feel free to reach out to me for a reading or to another astrologer for a reading, you know, because you really need that specificity of, you know, the birth time, the chart, to know where is it by sign, how, or by house and by aspect to your natal planets. But hopefully in that post, there's some good information for you in terms of your sun sign as it's affected by this.
Very cool. Everybody can go to dinadecastro.com if they want to get a reading with you. And we'll put those longer, more specific links specifically to those articles in the show notes. And they'll also be on my blog. And I think I shared them on Facebook as well, if anybody has recently seen those. Dina, thank you so much. This was a really cool conversation.
Thank you, Slade, as always. It was totally my pleasure.
Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever app you prefer. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message, an answer to a question or a concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. You may be feeling like no one is paying attention to your advice or wisdom or responding to the work you're putting out, but there's nothing wrong with your wisdom or your work. Sometimes you teach better by example than by trying to persuade. So try a new approach. Stop explaining and just practice what you preach. And I'll talk to you later.